on a blissful music, with every note you raise, my heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. Be seated, please.
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to our worship. We have guests. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of our audience this morning. And thank you for participating with those of us who are regular members here. We have a great group of people. I'd like to invite all of our members to come back and be a regular part of this group. I love being a part of the Henderson Church. Very thankful to have the opportunity to do so. An amazing blessing is mine and Billy's to be able to speak to you on a regular basis and encourage you on a regular basis. This morning, I want to talk about being rich. And most of us, when we decide whether we're rich or not, we look at what we don't have instead of what we have. If we only were to look at what we have and we compare that to what the rest of the world has, obviously, we would consider ourselves very wealthy. But we don't always look at things with wisdom, and intelligence is not the same as wisdom. I was reading a story about a minister and a Boy Scout and a computer expert. They were passengers, and the only passengers that were on a small plane. And the pilot came back to the cabin and said that the plane was going down, but there were only three parachutes, and there were four people. The pilot added very quickly, "I should have one of the parachutes because I have a wife and three small children." So he took one and he jumped. The computer whiz said, "I should have one of the parachutes because I am the smartest man in the world and everyone needs me." So he took one and jumped. The minister turned to the Boy Scout and he said with a smile, "You're a young man. I've had a very rich life. So you take the remaining parachute, and I'll go down with the plane." The Boy Scout said, "Relax, man. The smartest man in the world just picked up my backpack and jumped out." Sometimes we're not very wise, even though we have a great deal of intelligence. When we start thinking about riches, we need wisdom. I read another story about a man who was working for a charity and seeking money. And he called up a very rich man in the community. And here's what he said on the phone to the man. He said, "Our records show that you've never given to our charity. And we were wondering if you'd like to donate." The rich man replied, "Does your record show that I have an elderly mother who was left penniless when my father died? That I have a disabled brother who is unable to work? Or a widowed sister with small children who can barely make ends meet?" And the man said, "No, sir, our records do not show those things." The rich man replied, "Well, if I don't give to them, what makes you think I would give anything to you?" We're very particular about our wealth. We're very particular about our wisdom and using our intelligence about our wealth. Those two stories were stories that are just made up for a bit of humor. But there was a lady whose name was Hetty Green, and she has become known by many as America's greatest miser. In this true story, she died in 1916 and left an estate worth over $100 million. I've read about how she lived in her house and how she had so very little in her house. And here are just two things that the story said about her. She ate oatmeal cold because she didn't want to pay what little bit it would cost to heat up her oatmeal. The story says that she had a son who had a problem with his leg, and he had to have his leg amputated because she delayed so very long looking for a free clinic. Sounds unthinkable, doesn't it? That a woman would live in abject poverty with $100 million in the bank. We think about living the life of a pauper and how great a mistake that would be for someone. And yet, I'm absolutely convinced there's some people right here in this room who are living as paupers with so much available to them because they will not look with wisdom upon what true riches are all about. Got the message just a few moments ago about my brother-in-law dying. I am sad, but I'm also very happy because, you see, he died a wealthy man. I don't have any clue if he had any money in the bank. I'm assuming he did have some. I don't have any clue about what he owned or didn't own. I don't know about that stuff. But I know this. After listening to him and him giving thanks for the fact that he had developed cancer because it made him reflect upon the blessings that God has bestowed upon him. Can you imagine giving thanks to God for pancreatic cancer, for lung cancer, to struggle with that for 2 years? And just a few days ago, I sat with him and talked, and he was saying, "Roy, I am thankful that I had cancer." Can you say that about some of the small things that you've developed in your life that have come up because of life in one way or another? I'm a happy man this morning because my brother-in-law died just a few minutes ago. A wealthy, wealthy man. And he did so, you see, because he understood what true riches were. We don't often think about what true riches are, and we will call ourselves poor in spite of the fact that we have many, many physical blessings. But may we never, ever consider ourselves spiritually poor. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 is a very common passage. We've read it many, many times. But it has such great information. There could be many sermons preached from this one verse. And I want to preach perhaps the most common sermon that is preached. I was looking at information that other people have used studying Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And what I'm going to put before you this morning is not my own, but it would not be the own of hardly anyone that you would go to find a source. This message has been set forth many, many times, beginning with the Apostle Paul. First of all, I'd like for you to think about the source of the riches that you have this morning in a spiritual way. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." The riches that we have this morning come from God. Everything that you have that is worth anything comes from God. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm thinking of the great blessings that I have, the toys that I have that I like to play with still. I'm thinking about recreational vehicles. I'm thinking about guns that I have loved to hunt with so much in my time. I'm thinking about basketballs and footballs and stuff like that that I have loved having in my possession and just enjoyed so much recreational time. I'm thinking about a number of those things. But you see, when I stop and count those blessings, I hardly think of the football that I hold in my hand as being from God. I might think of it. I remember one Christmas when I was a teenager, I received a very nice football. I would be thinking, this is a gift from my brother-in-law that I love very much. I wouldn't be thinking this is a gift from God. I would think about other things that I've received, and I would say, this is something my mom gave me. I wouldn't be thinking about it being a gift from God. And all the physical things that I have, including the very suit that I have on this morning, was a gift to me. And we tend to think of those things as gifts from the individuals that give them to us, when in reality, they are gifts from God. And so every good thing that we have comes from God, but every spiritual blessing is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at these blessings this morning, and they come to us not as a result of who we are or what we are, because we are not very much if we're trying to stand on our own. I remember reading in the Old Testament about God pleading with Israel to listen to Him, to be His children, could be his nation of priests, kingdom of priests, a nation of people so blessed God would do everything for them and give them everything. But he said, I didn't call you to be my children because you were large and great and everybody in the world saw you as something very special. I called you because I loved you. And he said, I didn't call you because you were good. You are a stiff-necked and rebellious group of people. I called you because I love you. This morning, the blessings that come from God do not come to us because of our goodness. We are stiff-necked and we are rebellious. Every one of us, the very best of us, has a stiff neck at times, and we rebel at times, and we say things we shouldn't, do things that we shouldn't, and God still loves us. He grants us riches because, if you take a look at the screen, you'll see it's because of God's grace. In verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, even forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of God's grace. It's a gift. It's something not earned. It's freely bestowed, freely given. And this morning, if we stop right there, we could count ourselves wealthy because God's grace is so great. He's made us who we are in Him, sons of God. What great riches we have this morning. But secondly, verse 18 of chapter 1 teaches us that God wants the eyes of our understanding opened and enlightened. Why? That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance. What an unbelievable blessing. The inheritance that comes from God. He is great in every sense of the word great. We are not. He is. But we can inherit everything that the greatness that God has offers to us because of God's glory. And then when we look at chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible teaches us that God is so merciful and He gives us blessings that we cannot deserve. We do not deserve them. He says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Truly, as James wrote, every good and perfect gift, whether physical or spiritual, comes to us from the Father of lights. What a great blessing we have this morning to be counted rich because the source of our riches, the source of our blessings, is the Father in heaven. Secondly, when you start thinking about the scope of our blessings, there is not one blessing of a spiritual nature that can come to you apart from a relationship with God. Here in this verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every one. There's not one that you can have without this relationship with God. We are so blessed, every spiritual blessing, not just a few, but every single one. And they are blessings that are spiritual in nature. There perhaps are people this morning who are in economic trouble, maybe some in this room, because you've tried to reach out there and grab all the physical blessings that you think everybody expects you to have. It may be that you've bought a house and you're up to your neck or even beyond that in a house payment, or you have car payments, you have insurance payments, you have all kinds of payments, and you may see yourself as really having nothing. God isn't talking about granting unto us physical blessings because we are His children. Every spiritual blessing. If you go back and you read chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, you're going to see that God grants blessings to everyone, to the good and the bad, the evil as well as the good. He grants blessings. The rain is going to fall on the good and the bad. The sun is going to shine on the good and the bad. Physical blessings come to everybody, but only those in a right relationship with God are going to receive any spiritual blessing. But when you are in that right relationship with God, it is every spiritual blessing. None will be left out. We will have all of them. And so the scope is every spiritual blessing. But when we start looking at our riches, if I ask, are you rich this morning? People would start wanting to check their bank accounts and their land holdings and their closets for the clothes that they have and their driveways for the cars that they drive. It's not what God is wanting you to be thinking about in terms of being rich. Those are tools to be used to serve God. Whatever you have in a physical blessing is a tool that God is permitting you to use in this world. And His intent is for us to use every physical blessing that we have in service to God, so that we might please Him and serve Him, and we might be His children, so that we can receive what He really, really wants to bestow upon us. And that is the spiritual blessings. It became amazing to me the degree of faith that my brother-in-law demonstrated when we discussed his illness and his impending death. He counted himself as blessed, as really unworthy. When you go back and read James chapter 1 about the counting it all joy when you fall into different kinds of problems and trials in this world, he said, I am blessed. I don't look at my children the same. I don't look at my family the same. I don't look at life the same. I don't look at God the same. What a great blessing I've received, he said. And you see, he was not thinking one second about his bank account or his land holdings or any such thing. He's thinking about where his true riches really reside. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Literally, this passage says, in the heavenlies. A phrase that's only found in the book of Ephesians in these passages that I have put on the screen in front of you. In the heavenly places. God is referring to the spiritual realm as opposed to the physical realm. It doesn't matter what you have or you don't have in this world. You can have everything that God offers of a spiritual nature and of a spiritual blessing. They're in the heavenlies. Don't be looking for God to grant you every physical blessing that you desire. That's not God's promise. It is God's promise to bless us with every spiritual blessings. It's in this spiritual realm that we are talking about. We spent a good bit of time last week talking about Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. And those people responded not because they were hungry physically, not because they didn't have any physical clothing, not because they didn't have a home to go to. They responded because they recognized in the spiritual realm they were without God. They were without hope. They were the ones who with lawless hands had murdered Jesus Christ, God's Son. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises were not just to them, but to their children, and that were all afar off, as many as the Lord our God would call, to you and me. Not one physical blessing did God promise those people in the sermon of Peter. It was in the heavenlies, in this spiritual realm. Their sins were forgiven. They were born into the family of God. In verse 47, the Lord added them to His kingdom, the church. Every blessing was a spiritual blessing. But the second part of that promise, not just in the heavenly places, but they are in Christ. This phrase, in Christ, occurs 27 times in the book of Ephesians. When we start thinking about a passage, if you want to read about the church, you read the book of Ephesians, and you're going to be full of the kingdom of God, of the blessings that come about because of the kingdom of God. You're going to read about the church. You're going to read about people who were baptized into Christ in Galatians chapter 3, another letter that Paul wrote. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Paul recognized that the way in which we have an opportunity to be in Christ is to be baptized into Christ. And so in a moment, we're going to ask, are you whiter than snow because you've been baptized into Christ? That's the way your sins are washed away. That's what Peter said. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's what Paul was told in Acts 22 and verse 16. And that's what we are asking you to consider. If you have never been baptized into Christ, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And when you do, the Lord will add you to His church. You will be in Christ where you can receive all spiritual blessings. What great hope. I believe my brother-in-law left this world in that hope. What a great thing to think about as we look at life this morning. Because you see, one day I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to leave this world, and I want it to be in hope because I have received, while I am living in this world, every spiritual blessing. What are those blessings? I was looking at an article about the blessings in Christ, and I saw 75 blessings that someone went through and listed that we have when we are in Christ. I only put a few of those on the screen for you to think about this morning as we think about our invitation. It is through our obedience, our loving obedience to God, that we have a chance to be in Christ, that we have a chance to have access to God's grace. We have a chance to be adopted as sons of God because of our faith in Christ Jesus. It is our chance to sign the roll, if you will, in a spiritual sense, and have a spiritual citizenship in the kingdom of God. It is a chance for me to be adopted in such a way that I become an heir of God, where God will give me the riches that a child of one who has much would receive. It is my chance to be accepted in the beloved. Everybody wants to be accepted. I think about our young people all the time, and I think about how hard they are striving to be accepted. And young folks, I want you to know you're not working any harder at that than these old folks are. They want to be accepted. It's one of our basic needs, but I'm hoping one of your great life goals and all of our great life goals is to be accepted in the beloved, in Christ, in the Son of God who loved us and gave His life for us. One of the things our world is seeking is peace. Peace with God is what really matters. And to be redeemed, what a great blessing. As we think about our invitation this morning, would you think about the blessings? Think about the riches that are yours this morning that are out there. You may be like this lady. You may live spiritually the way she lived physically. What a sad state of affairs. If you're in this room and you've been taught and you know you need to be baptized, but you never have, what a sad state of affairs to reject what is offered to you, the riches offered to you by God. If you're in this room and you're a child of God and you are not faithful to God, what a sad waste of riches that are yours, waiting on you to respond right now as we stand and as we sing. Lord Jesus, I love.